God be with you, and welcome to worship at Knox United Church in Parksville on this Sunday, July the 19th, 2020. I'm John Thompson, and will be leading worship this morning. Our minister, Jennifer Ferguson, is enjoying a well-earned vacation. We're delighted that you're joining us at Knox, where we strive to live out our mission, where we are called to build a community that cares, shares, and dares. We recognize that we are on the traditional territory of the Pentlatch peoples, ancestors of the Nanus and Qualicum nations, with whom we continue to work toward truth and reconciliation, because we are a nation of peace. The demographics of our congregation suggest that for health safety reasons, we continue to worship virtually, and logistics require that our worship service be pre-recorded. Thank you to those who are contributing to our service today: Sandy Machen, our tech booth wizard; Karen Freeman, our facility coordinator and camera operator; Chelsea and Alex McDonald, singing for us; and Marge LaFoy, our guest musician; Leslie Hawley, for the beautiful floral arrangement. Thanks also to Daryl Otten, retired minister at First United Church in Salmon Arm, for his friendship and sage guidance. Let us invite the presence of God to be with us by lighting the Christ candle, which reminds us that the light of Christ is with us always. I invite each one of you to pass the peace virtually in your hearts, in your imagination, with family and friends, as we listen to Marge playing beautiful music. Our opening hymn is one which we sing often, probably because the words are so beautiful and meaningful. Voices United, number 333, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.
Is it
As we prepare to worship today, let us invite God into our heart. Let us pray. Holy One, we feel your presence gathering us in. We trust in your power to create, to sustain, to enable. But we could not trust if we did not know that you are always near. During these challenging times, we are glad we have our faith to trust in you. And while we are sad that for health and safety reasons, we are not able to physically congregate at Knox Church Sanctuary for our regular Sunday worship, we ask that you be with us as we worship you from our home. Divine Light, at the rising of your sun each morning, let the greatest of all lights, your love, rise like the sun within our heart. Be with us each day and help us to appreciate the goodness we have in our daily lives, brought about by our faith in you and in one another. We ask all this in the glorious name of Jesus. Amen. I invite Chelsea to read our scripture.
Our reading today is from John 6, 1 through 14. I'm reading today from the New Revised Standard Version, Feeding the 5,000. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. He looked up and saw the large crowd coming towards him. Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for all these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. "But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said. "Make the people sit down." There was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves. When he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. He also took the fish, and as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told the disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world."
Thank you, Chelsea. Let us pray. Holy One, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be graced by your wisdom and your love. Amen. Most, if not all of you, will have learned the basic fundamentals of simple arithmetic. So here's an early morning test for your brain. What is the result of 7 divided by 5,000 expressed as a percentage? Come on now, you know this. Quick. The answer is 0.14%. I repeat, 0.14%. Now apply that 0.14% to 5 loaves and 2 fish, which is what was available to feed 5,000 people, and the amount is tiny, a mere crumb. Yet on that day, beside the Sea of Galilee, 5,000 men and an indeterminate number of women and children had their hunger satisfied from those 5 loaves and 2 fish. And there were leftovers. Can you believe it? Well, you should believe it, because it actually happened. And the proof is in the fact that this story is repeated in each of the 4 Gospels. 4 independent writers provided separate, similar accounts about the same event: Matthew 14, Mark 6, Luke 9, and John 6. In fact, this is the only miracle which is described in all 4 Gospels. What none of the Gospels describes, however, is specifically how the miracle happened. We are told that Jesus blessed the food and had his disciples distribute it among those gathered. But how was there enough food? Did other loaves and fish drop down from the sky? Did the loaves and fish replenish like Swiss chard when it's picked? We're left wondering how it did happen. Let's set the scene for this miracle. It was springtime in Israel. The brown hills had soaked up the spring rains. The flowers were blooming. The hills were green again. It was also Passover time in Israel, and people were taking trips, going on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. It was a time of religious aliveness, of fasting and feasting and traveling. Jesus had become very popular and attracted large crowds wherever he went. He had recently sent out his disciples to teach and heal on their own, and now they had returned, excited to tell him of their success. But Jesus had just received news of the grisly execution of John the Baptist, and he wanted to get away to a lonely place. He got into a boat to sail across Lake Galilee to a remote point in order to get away from the massive crowds who were following him, seeking to be alone, to grieve, to pray, to remember. But the crowds of people, now swelled by those traveling for Passover, saw him and followed, so that when the boat landed, they were waiting for him. What was his reaction at seeing all these people? Irritation? Anger? As described in the Mark 6 version of the story, verse 34, as he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Here we have an example of one of Jesus' wonderful attributes, compassion, also described in verse 1 of the first hymn we sang today. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. And so Jesus spent many hours with the people teaching and healing well into the day until, and now quoting from Matthew chapter 14, verses 15 and 16, when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, this is a deserted place and the hour is late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves. Jesus said to them, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. Here again, Jesus' compassion for his followers is evident. In those days, one could not quickly drive over to the nearest supermarket and load up a cart with provisions. There was no instant meals app on a smartphone. There were no pizza delivery vans. And besides, Jesus and his disciples didn't have that kind of money. There were, however, 5,000 plus hungry mouths to feed. John's gospel tells us that a young boy stepped forward with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. Barley bread was the cheapest of all bread, and the fish would be no bigger than sardines and would likely be pickled. Each one of the gospel writers details how Jesus gave thanks for and blessed the 5 loaves and 2 fish the boy had provided and gave the food to the disciples to distribute. And 5,000 people ate and were filled. It was a miracle. But specifically, how did it happen? Perhaps it was simply a miracle in which Jesus multiplied loaves and fishes. If we can believe in the sheer miraculous character of this miracle, then let us continue to do so. There may be another and very lovely explanation. Those people who set out for the day to find Jesus and listening to his teachings, perhaps hoping he might cure their ills, would realize that it would be a full day's outing ahead of them. It's unlikely that they would undertake this outing without packing some provisions. As well, the primary reason for the crowd being so large was because the majority of them would have been traveling from outside areas to Jerusalem for Passover, and they certainly would have carried food for the journey. To substantiate this theory, note that all 4 Gospels describe there being 12 baskets full of leftovers. So, who had the baskets to begin with, and why? People in the crowd, and likely for the purpose of carrying food for the journey. Certainly the young lad had been provided sustenance for his journey, probably prepared for him by his mother, and now here he was, offering to share his meager meal. In those days, that act in itself would have been quite outstanding. Most people in that crowd who had brought food would have, understandably and selfishly, but humanly, kept it for themselves to sustain them on their long journey. When Jesus accepted the lad's offering with his customary grace and with sunny faith, thanked God for it and shared it out, I like to think that those in the crowd who would have kept their provisions for themselves were moved by the lad's example and did the same thing, sharing their food. And in the end, there was more than enough for all. It may be that this is a miracle in which the presence of Jesus turned a crowd of men and women, a group of strangers to one another, into a fellowship of sharers. It may be that this story represents the biggest miracle of all, one which changed not loaves and fishes, but men and women, and that the miracle was community happened. People reached out and shared what they had until there was abundance. Sharing. It's what we do. I'm sure that each one of you has, at some point in time, opened the door to someone and invited that person in to share a meal. Perhaps it was at Thanksgiving or Christmas, and that person would have been alone, but you gave that person a few hours of joy by sharing your table. Last winter, on a bitterly cold day, and the wind was howling, I was walking downtown to the bank, and I noticed a young woman sitting on the sidewalk beside a sign stating she was homeless. I'd seen her there before, and I'd dropped some loose change in her basket. This time, I stooped down and spoke to her. I asked her name, Tiara. I asked if you're hungry. Yes. I asked if she'd like to go to a cafe and have a sit-down meal, or that if she'd prefer that I bring the food to her. And she said, yes, I'd prefer that. I asked what she would like to drink, and she said, hot coffee, lots of cream and sugar. I asked if she had any food allergies. No. I brought her a large coffee with lots of cream and sugar, two egg salad sandwiches, and some napkins. I asked her if she had a place to stay for the night, and she said she thought she had. So I said, God bless you, and know that He loves you. I didn't see her again for about 2 weeks. And then Audrey and I were walking in the area. Again, it was bitterly cold. The wind was howling. I saw her huddled up against the wall trying to keep warm. We went over, and I said, Tiara? And she looked up, and she said, with surprise, oh, it's you. You brought me a hot drink and a sandwich one day. I was surprised and moved that she remembered. But it occurred to me that if she remembered that from 2 weeks ago, it had probably been slim pickings since then, and that saddened me. Audrey pointed out to me that she wasn't dressed warmly enough, her clothes wouldn't stand up to the bitter cold, and she suggested we should go find some warm clothes for her. We asked her to stay where she was for a short while, and we walked 2 blocks to a local thrift store where we were able to find a very nice, full-length, warm wool coat and a large 6-foot-long wool scarf to wrap around her head and neck. But we couldn't find any mitts. We were rewarded with the look of gratitude on Tiara's face when we gave her the clothes and when Audrey took off her own gloves and gave them to her. The purpose of telling this is not to glorify our actions, but to show the value of community. SOS, like many similar charitable organizations, has been around for decades. It provides a wide variety of essential services to the community, and about 70% of its revenue is generated through the thrift shop. Most importantly, it is operated primarily by volunteers. The loaves and fish story, repeated again in 2020. Somebody shared a possession by donating a wool coat. Someone else, a long wool scarf. Someone shared her time volunteering to sort the clothes. Someone else to be a cashier. Someone shared compassion. You see, Tiara was not the only beneficiary here. In fact, many people benefited. While she received a warm coat and scarf, the money that was spent purchasing the donated items would have been used to help several families through providing meals for those in need, perhaps by helping youth in crisis, perhaps assisting someone in an abused relationship, perhaps all three. So fast forward 2,000 years, and loaves become coats, fish become scarves. We will never know how the miracle of the five loaves and the two fish actually happened, because we were not there. And it doesn't really matter what the miracle was. Saint Teresa of Calcutta said about Jesus, "He uses us to be his love and compassion in the world, in spite of our weakness and frailties." In this current pandemic, it's a challenge to do some things, and sharing as a volunteer might be off limits for a while. But there are many other ways we can share our talents. Many people live alone and are lonely, and the requirement to self-isolate has exacerbated the loneliness. You could phone someone you know in these circumstances and share good conversation. Next time you see someone who is down and out and you reach into your pocket for some loose change, share some compassion and engage the person in conversation. It will mean a lot to that person. Remember, a homeless person is also a child of God. You can share your knowledge with your children, your grandchildren. Share your memories with your families. Share the planet with all the beautiful creatures living on it. And relish in the warm feeling you get when you share. May it be so in your life and in mine. Our hymn is one that's probably not familiar to many, but the words are quite appropriate for the theme today. Voices United 355, "For the Crowd of Thousands." We listen now as the singing bowl invites us into a state of prayer. Creator God, We thank you for this day on earth, for the gift of life, and for the breath that sustains life. We pray for our families and friends and ask that you watch over them and keep them safe. We pray for all the beautiful animals with which we are privileged to share this planet. Merciful God, we pray for those who are the victims of human conflict and violence. We pray for those for whom finding food and fresh water is an ongoing daily struggle. We pray for the homeless, all the tiaras of the world. We pray for those whose lives have been turned upside down by natural disasters. We pray for our faith families at Knox United and Quadra Island United Church. We pray for our minister, Jennifer Ferguson, and Rain Love, as they enjoy a well-deserved vacation. Guide them safely in their travels. Loving God, we pray for those who have been affected by this insidious coronavirus, whether through sickness, loss of employment, loss of income, loss of a home, loss of a loved one. We pray for all medical personnel and their support staff and all essential service workers who selflessly put their own health at risk to provide for us. Hold them in your arms and keep them safe. Blessed God, we ask that the loving energy of our prayers touch the ones we pray for. We pray for friends and relatives who are lonely, sick, at the end of their ropes, burdened with worry, grief, or fear. Let them feel our care and know they are not alone. Hear our prayer to you as we name them. In our reflection today, O God, we talked about sharing. We ask that your healing powers be with the scientists of the world and that your spirit inspires them to share their knowledge to develop a vaccine to successfully protect our race against this COVID-19 virus. As we find our way forward, let us not be afraid. Illumine the path for us as we continue along a faith-filled journey. And now let us join in the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples that we know so well. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our final hymn, from Voices United, number 574. It's a rousing hymn. Come, let us sing of a wonderful love.
Father above, streaming to be.
As God shares his love with each of us, let us share our gifts and our talents to benefit our community. May the strength of God sustain you. May the power of God preserve you. May the hands of God protect you. May the way of God direct you. May the love of God go with you this day and forever. And may the peace of Christ be with you. Amen. And remember, this is our time to be kind, be calm, and be safe.